Hi, this is Corey Olson, and welcome to Students of the Word. This podcast consists of recordings of the weekly Bible study I've started running in February of 2022. I'm doing close reading, which means we're going very slowly, thinking really carefully about the words, how everything fits together, and then, of course, also thinking about what this means for us and what we do with it. Thanks for listening, and I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word as we study together. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Students of the Word. This is session number 54, and today we're going to continue with paragraph 10, which we began last time, and take a look at the concrete example that John has in mind concerning how not to in the loving your brother department. So let's get back. Well, I'm sure there'll be some things we're going to want to look back at, but let's shift straight ahead and start at the beginning of the paragraph. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we are to love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And for what reason did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil, but his brother's were righteous. Okay. So that verse will be our focus today. There's a lot going on there. So shifting to the Greek, you'll remember we were discussing last time the beginning of this paragraph, if it is the beginning of this paragraph, and the sort of oddity, what really seems to be a strange beginning of this sentence by starting the sentence with the word hoti, with the word because, right? I think in English as well as Greek, people would find it peculiar to start not only a sentence, but a paragraph with the word because. The word because is intrinsically a word in the middle, right? This thing, because of that thing. Anyway, so we talked about that some. This is the message, the Angelia, that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, ou kathos Cain, not just as Cain did. Okay, hang on. Ek doesn't mean who. What's going on here? Ah, ek tu poneru, of course. So the who is being inserted to try to make this make sense in English, because this is just a prepositional phrase. Not as Cain, out of the evil one, right? Ek tu poneru, and that's the same phrase we've been looking at that, right? Ek tu theou, right? Anyone not practicing righteousness is not of God. Ek tu theou, right? And also the one not loving his brother. So he's just established that, right? He's established those who are not ek tu theou, not out of God. And we talked about that out of, to come out of. So it's like a parentage thing, right? To be the children of God. If you're a child of God, you are ek tu theou. You're out of God, from God. So you're not from God if you're not doing righteousness. PS, which also means the one not loving the brother of him. But of course it's the children of God and the techno tu theou and the techno tu diabolu, the children of the accuser and the children of God that we're talking about this. And as I recall, just a couple verses earlier, right? Yes, the seed of God abides in him, and he is not able to continue sinning because he has been born ek tu theou, right? There's the phrase right there combined with the word, with the being born word, being born out of God, from God. That's makes it really clear what the ek means in this instance, doesn't it? Right? To be born from God. But as I recall, the being born of, right, there it is again, anyone being born of God, the beginning of that sentence. And didn't we get ek? There it is, ek tu diabolu. I thought we got that phrase earlier on too. Yes, this hopoion
All right, we're going to go Paso this time. Right. Right. This is just the sin doing, the sin practicing one. The sin doing one is Ectu Diabolu. So again, so that's been this language, this child parent language has been consistent. Children of God, children of the devil. If you are a child of God, you are from God, Ectu Theo. If you're a child of the accuser, you are Ectu Diabolu. Or in this case, Ectu Poneru, of the evil. So one thing that's striking me, and this is maybe an academic interest, the addition of who. That I'm not questioning why do the translators add it. I'm questioning why does English need it? That's what's interesting me at the moment here. Okay, Randall says the syntax without who is odd in Greek too. Because that's what I was wondering. Because so, oh, hang on. Okay, so here's what's striking me about the who or the missing who in this case, right? Whether we call this, so again, the syntax of this whole sentence is so weird. Because this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain out of the evil one was. Yeah, so you see, you can see why, I certainly see why in English they added the who, right? The reason they added who is there's no subject to the verb. Was, right? So, all right. When we have a clause that modifies a noun or might be a modifying a verb, in this case, it's modifying a noun, Cain, right? Saying Cain of the evil one was and slew his brother. So normally, okay, if Cain is the noun that's being modified by the adjective clause, right? This is an adjective clause is describing Cain. Who's Cain? Oh yeah, he's the one who was of the evil one and slew his brother. That Cain, right? So that's an adjective clause describing Cain. But a clause needs a subject. Right? You have to have a subject and a verb. You can't just throw a verb in there. All verbs have to have subjects. Right. I mean, I assume that's a rule in Greek as well as in English. Right. So what's the subject of the verb was, or the subject of the word slew for that matter? Because the kathos, the just as, makes it almost impossible that Cain should be the subject of those verbs. So even in the interlinear translation, and certainly in the NASB, we're adding who because who is a pronoun that can stand as the subject of that verb, not as Cain. Who is Cain? Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. So they make who the compound subject of those two subordinate verbs. Yeah, okay. For a second, I want to think here. Well, I want to make sure, I'm always reluctant. And of course, my reluctance is greatly amplified by the fact that I don't really know Greek at all. But I'm always reluctant when translating to make even a very sensible sounding assumption that I know better than the author, right? You see what I mean? Right? Like, oh, like he needs a pronoun here, so surely we'll add one because he forgot or something, right? And again, like, there may be a completely legit translation, but I hate to make that assumption, right? So let me see first if we can kind of make sense of this as is. Without a who there, the only nominative noun available to be the subject of the verb was is came. So if we take can as the subject of the verbs, then we have not as Cain of the evil one was, and that makes Cain of the evil one. It does sound, who is saying it sounds like a title? Yeah. Sorry, I missed that. Somebody was saying Cain of the Evil One. Yeah, Aiden, we're saying that. Cain of the Evil One. Cain of the Evil One sounds like a, I don't know, sounds like a character from Conan the Barbarian or something like that. I am Cain of the Evil One. Right. So if we just kind of take that for a moment, Cain of the Evil One, not as Cain of the Evil One was and slew, and Cain slew the brother of him. All right, tenses. Let's think about tenses. So the was is imperfect. Imperfect indicative. An aorist. Well, aorist, sure. I mean, look, whatever else you have to say about Cain, he did only slay his brother the one time, right? So that does make sense. Okay, so Aiden, you're thinking. I see. So it's Aiden is thinking it's not Cain of the evil one. Cain was of the evil one. Not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. So our problem is the comma. If you try to make that what comes after Cain into a subordinate clause which modifies Cain, you have to have a subject, right? You have to you need the who, right? But if it isn't, if you delete the comma, which is, remember, that's editorial. That's why I really dislike that they put the punctuation on this line of the interlinear. Wish they didn't do that. Wish they would put it down with the brown. And they make it the right color anyway. But in any case, I get it. Okay. Not as Cain was. Okay. It's still really weird, though, isn't it? I don't understand the imperfect with was. Not as Cain was of the evil one and slew. Certainly, the differentiation between was and slew, him being of the evil one, like, went on for a while, right? Whereas his slaying of his brother was an event, right, that occurred at a particular time. I guess if I understand the tenses in that way, it makes sense. Right, and the aorist wouldn't make sense with a state verb like be. Okay, Aiden, I buy it. I'm not looking for aorist on was. I'm just trying to understand it. Okay. This is just confession of mine. I'm not sure in any language I fully understand the difference between the imperfect and the perfect. I'm just saying. It's an issue of mine. I've had that issue since I was in high school. Okay. So Randall is suggesting that an overall like that another way to translate this whole sentence might be something like this. This is the message from the beginning that we love one another, not the way Cain was of the evil one and killed his brother. Okay. Not the way. So, like, not how Cain was of the evil one. Right. So this is the message from the beginning that we love one another, not the way Cain was of the evil one and killed his brother. Yes. That is a lovely translation, Randall. And that seems to address the issue here without adding in and by the way, so do you see why I'm suspicious of things like this? I'm suspicious of things like this just because this is only needed if we insist on making this into a subordinate clause modifying Cain. But if he didn't put the who, if that's how you do it in Greek too, and he didn't do that, then why should we insist on that? Now, I can tell you one answer to that question. And the answer to that question is this English sounds way better than his Greek does. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we are to love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Like, that sounds like really acceptable English. Whereas, because this is the message from the beginning, that we love one another, not the way Cain was of the evil one and killed his brother, feels like we're not done yet, right? It's not that. If you just put that in an English translation, people would be like, what is happening in that sentence, right? It's still a bizarre sentence. I agree, Aid. I mean, we talked about the Hina. The Hoti last week. Sorry, you're thinking of the Hina. The Hina here, the beginning, that we should love one another. Right. Okay, I'm following now, Aiden. Aiden is saying it's interesting because it's at first it sounds like this is the message you've heard from the beginning and that what we expect to follow is the message, right? But it almost sounds, Aiden is suggesting, as if Hina, the word Hina there is introducing not like, here's a quotation of the message, but here is like the goal, like the purpose of the message. And Aiden, it's funny that you say that because of course that's what we got from the beginning, right? Because as Aiden says, Hina is usually like in order that or so that, right? That's the general meaning of that. But if we go back, that's exactly the pattern that we see, right? Remember? What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Right? So if we go back, let's see. Does he use Hina there? If he uses Hina there, it's going to be brilliant. And the life was made manifest, which we have seen and heard. We proclaim to you also, Hina, boom. There it is. It's exactly the same construction. You're so right, Aiden. Oh, my goodness. So that you also may have fellowship. And we talked about that at the time. That rather than telling us the message, telling us what he has seen and heard, he is from the beginning. It's like the whole question, right? The whole premise of the first paragraph is not, dude, guess what I've seen and heard? It's this, right? That's not at all what he's doing in the first paragraph. In the first paragraph, he's like, so we've all seen and heard something, right? But what does it mean, right? What is the point? What does it lead to? That's the whole, like, what's up with the word of life stuff? What do we do with the word of life stuff that we've all experienced, right? Well, we proclaim these things to you, and I'm not going to even mention yet what we're proclaiming. That's not what's important. What's important is why, in order that, Hina, we proclaim unto you, and remember, this was the first independent, this is the first verb of the whole epistle, right? Apangelomen was our first verb. We proclaim to you so that, Hina. Boom. Oh, man, that is a brilliant observation, Aiden. Okay, hang on. Let's go back down to paragraph. Okay. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love Hina. Hang on. I want to look at translations here. Does anybody even approach that? Do they touch Tina with a 10-foot pole? Okay. I'm all curious now. NASB. This is the message you heard from the beginning, that we are. King James. This is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should. NIV. Colon. For this is the message you heard from the beginning, colon. Even clearer. NRSV. That we should love. Yeah. CEV. From the beginning, you were told we must love each other. They make it even clearer again without the that even. Don't be like Cain. That's good advice. Colon in the message as well. This is the original message we heard. I think every single one of these English translations is skimming over the Hina there, Aiden, hey, I skimmed over it last week. Cause I like broke one of my cardinal rules. I overlooked the conjunction. Never overlook the conjunctions. It's all in the conjunctions and the prepositions. Oh wow. Okay, hang on. So before we even get back to Cain now, we've got it. The whole first half of the sentence is called back into question. So let's see. This is the message that you've heard from the beginning, because we should love one another. So by overlooking the Hina, by turning the Hina into a colon, essentially, which is what most of the English translations are functionally doing. I think every single one of those English translations reads like that. Every single one of those translations is telling us English readers that in this verse, the second half of this verse is the message that we heard from the beginning. And of course, it's very plausible, as like, so far as we know, based on the Gospels, Jesus kind of was saying love one another from pretty well the beginning. Right. And it works in a bunch of ways. As I talked about last week, it works in a bunch of ways to say that that's a kind of encapsulation of the message from the beginning, aparkes, even in a sense from Genesis 1. But more. But yeah. But what if it isn't? What if that's not, in fact, what he's saying? Because it doesn't seem to be what he's saying because of Hina here. What if instead of doing so, that what that would mean? That would change haute. That would change this. If he's saying, this is the message you have heard from the beginning, colon, then this is pointing forward, right, to what comes after the colon. This thing I'm about to tell you is the message, colon. Here comes the message, right? But if that's not what he's saying, if what he's saying is this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, because we ought to love one another, so that we would love one another. In order that we should love one another, then this doesn't point forward, it points backwards. Do you see what I mean? This would be pointing back to what he just said. Anyone not practicing righteousness is not ektutheo, is not from God, of God. And also the one not loving the brother of him. For this is the message. But we have a gender problem. This is feminine. Haute is feminine, which does seem to agree with Angelia. Yes. Right. Why would you say, Haute, this is the message, if you weren't gonna then do a colon? So tell me more about Hina. Could you use Hina? Like, would it just be like an unusual way to use Hina, but it like an acceptable way? Okay, Susan says Hina has two constructions. One is to introduce a reported command or request, the other is to introduce purpose. So one is introducing purpose so that, in order to, right? What I'm wondering is, and this is far more attractive, I mean, far more attractive, not more attractive in a purely academic sense. See, in an academic sense, it's much more attractive to say that all the English translations are totally wrong. That is one of the great moral temptations of the academic life, is to fall into the temptation to delight in proving other people wrong. But anyway, but rather, if instead of saying all the English translations are wrong, saying English translations are correct, but that by his choice of that word, he's making a kind of almost a play on that conjunction. That is, it works in both ways. We should love one another. That is subjunctive, isn't it? Yeah, present subjunctive. We ought to love one another. We should love one another. That is the message. And it's also the reason for the message. It's also the purpose at the same time. And I think so. Aiden, the suggestion that you made and the thing that I was remembering, like the fact that he did exactly that, the fact that he started this epistle by talking about proclaiming things unto us and then deliberately pushing back the actual proclamation, right? And instead, in the place where we would expect the proclamation, he gave us instead the purpose of the proclamation so that we might have fellowship with one another. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Lord, is with, right, God and his son Jesus Christ. Right. Well, no, I'm not. I think there might be more to it than that, though, Aiden. So Aiden says those aren't really all that different semantically in the end. I told you that you should go, and I told you in order that you would go are basically the same thing. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you can see why the same word would be used. Like why those two are semantically related concepts for sure. But no, I think there's more to it than that. Like, it's about means and ends, right? When you give a command, you're saying what someone should do. And that thing that they should do is often, usually, even a means rather than an end, right? Like if I command my child to do something, right? Like if I command my child to take out the trash. The action I'm commanding him to do is not an end in itself, right? It is not because, I want him to be in the act of taking out the trash. It's because I want the trash removed, right? We want the kitchen not to smell anymore, right? Like that's the or even higher orders of things, like, healthfulness and that sort of thing, right? We want to keep our kitchen in a state of healthfulness. Whatever, you see what I mean? Like there's other, but you don't say that, right? When you give an order, usually you don't say, so I don't say, son, like purge the kitchen of uncleanness, or even like, son, make the kitchen in a state of cleanness. I don't do that. I say, take out the trash. Like, this is the thing I want you to do, right? But again, there's a reason for that. We should love one another is, I think, more complicated. Believe it or not, I think loving your brother is more complicated than taking out the trash. Back to paragraph one for a second. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, Hina, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Now, it's very clear that have fellowship with us isn't exactly what the proclamation is. It's about the word of life stuff. It's about the manifestation of the life of the age, right? Those are the things he's just been talking about, right? That is what those are the things that he has seen and heard that he's proclaiming to you. And so in this case, the Hina, and this, of course, is the very first pattern he establishes in the first long sentence of the epistle, is we proclaim to you these things so that, in order that, for the larger purpose, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So, Aidan, it is possible, of course, to render this in that way, that you could read this sentence, verse 3 of chapter 1, and say, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, colon, have fellowship with us. That's it. That's the message. But in this context, that's clearly nonsense, right? First of all, it ignores the you too, right? The you also thing there. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, syntactically, that it doesn't, you can't just put a colon in there. It doesn't work. But more than that, it has nothing to do with what he's been saying. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. Well, them having fellowship with him is not what he's seen and heard, right? It's not what they've handled and touched and seen and looked at, right? Like, that's not what he's proclaiming, what it was that he's seen and heard, and what he's proclaiming, because that's what he's proclaiming, right? So it really can't be that here. Here it's very clearly an in order that, right? And so again, when we think about means and ends, he's telling us the end for which the commandment is, right? Which, of course, I often do with my children as well, right? I'm telling you to do this so that we can achieve this thing. I want you to understand the big picture. I want you to understand why this isn't just a random task I've assigned to you, right? Please do this so that we can achieve this larger end. And that larger end, which is important for these other reasons, right? So do this for this reason, in order to achieve this purpose, but both of those meanings are connected, Susan, in the two different constructions that you were talking about. Those are basically those two uses of Hina there. To introduce a reported command, here's what to do. Or to introduce purpose, do this in order that this other thing might happen, right? That John seems to use it both ways. Well, In paragraph one here, we see an unquestionable, I think, an unquestionable use of it in the latter sense. And it's interesting that he's using it in the context of the same sort of thing, the message being proclaimed. And as we discussed 2 years ago in real time when we began this study, it's very noticeable that he's so cagey about the actual message throughout the whole first paragraph, right? For somebody who spends a whole lot of time talking about this proclamation and manifestation, he doesn't, he like keeps pushing off actually telling us what it is. And instead, what he places in the central spotlight, what he gets to as the main verb of this first sentence, what this whole first sentence builds up to, is instead declaring the purpose. He cares more, it seems, he at least he puts first, let me say it that way. He places first why he's going to make the proclamation, rather than what the content of the proclamation is. So when we go back, hang on a second, before we go back, paragraph two, right? This is the message. Hang on, I want to look at that. How closely parallel is that construction? Oh, look at that. Kai estin haute, hey Angelia. This is the message. It's exactly the same phrase. Except he starts with Kai, which is much more sensible than starting with, what was it, hoti? And this is the message that we have heard from him. And we preach unto you, by the way. Hoti. He doesn't use hina here, he uses hoti. That God is light, and in him there is not none darkness. So he uses hoti as his colon here, right? Yes, exactly. And that's normal for hoti, yeah. So when he used almost this precise phrase, this is the message, haute angelia. He used the word hoti as his colon, right? Hoti, God is light, and there is not none darkness in him. The second time, well, this next time, anyway, up in paragraph 10, where we're looking, he's combining these two things. He's combining the hina, which he used back up in verse 3. We proclaim unto you, hina, you might have fellowship with us. And also notice, by the way, still same construction in verse 4, these things write we unto you, hina, so that the joy of us might be complete. Again, first paragraph, all about the purpose. So that you may have fellowship, so that your joy may be complete. And when he's going to actually say the message, he shifts. Haute, hey Anglia. Estin, haute, hey Angelia. This is the message. Hoti, God is light. Now, back to chapter 3, back to paragraph 10. Okay. So he's already begun the weirdness by not starting it with Kai and instead starting it with Hoti, as we talked about last time. Because this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, hina, that we should love one another. So Randall was just saying there is no verb of command in 3:11. What do you mean? You mean like imperative? What exactly do you mean by verb of command? What are you looking for and not seeing there in 11? This is the message that you have heard from the beginning. Hina agapomen alelus. So that we should love one another. That we should love one another. So that we should love one another. I'm wondering, apart from the fact that he's flipped, it was estin haute he angelia, it's exactly the same phrase. Again, we've got the hoti and kai thing at the beginning, but we talked about that. Precisely the same phrase. He's doing, ex he introduces, he starts paragraph 10 almost word for word, the same way he starts paragraph 2. This is the message that you have heard. And the aparches should bring us back to verse 1 itself, right? Back to the beginning of this epistle, as well as back to the beginning of everything else. Oh, I see. Randall, you were thinking of some verb that means command, direct, or instruct, or the like. Oh, right. So you're saying to command or instruct so that we should love one another. That would to like kind of make more sense of the hina in that way. Right. Okay. Yeah, I got you. Right. Yes, if he were going to that level, if you were focused on that level, right? Just like he was talking about proclaiming. I think I'm tracking with you now. So just as in paragraph one, he kept talking about this is what we proclaim, right? We proclaim this, we do this, so that hina, you also might have fellowship with us, right? So he's not saying this is the message that we proclaim so that you should love one another, right? Instead, he says the message that you have heard from the beginning. And adding a purpose to hearing is weirder. It's one thing to say I'm proclaiming a thing for a reason. That makes sense. To say you heard a thing for a reason feels much stranger. Right. I mean, if you heard a thing, hearing is more is like proclaiming is active. Like you've done the thing, and you've done the thing for a reason, right? You're not just proclaiming for no reason, right? If you're proclaiming, you've got a reason for it. But you can hear stuff, without malice aforethought, right? I mean, you just hear it. Like it's, you didn't have to have a reason to hear it. So I think, right, so that would make a strict purpose interpretation of hina here a little bit odd. You have heard it so that we should love one another. But he doesn't use the word hoti there, hoti agapomen, alelos, which would continue the parallel. From this is the message. This is the message, hoti, right? Yeah, I was thinking about he didn't want to repeat hoti. But in any case, yeah, possibly it would make hoti at the beginning of the sentence even more confusing if you did it again down here. But anyway, the point that I've been kind of groping towards here for a little while. Is I wonder if, again, instead of saying all the English translations are wrong and it's not what he meant at all, it's not a colon. If it is a colon, but it's a colon that has this other overlay, right? As if he's saying, you have heard this message from the beginning, and there was a purpose for your hearing this message from the beginning. This is the message, colon. We should love one another. That is the message, in fact, that you've heard from the beginning. It's also the purpose that there's a. This is not. It's not like take out the trash, right? This isn't just a means to an end. This is also the end. This is also the purpose. Again, Aidan, I'm coming back to what you were talking about the semantic similarity, right? Yes, go and, you know, I told you to go and I told you in order that you would go, like for the purpose of your going, are identical. But there is a difference between I told you to do this thing and I told you to like achieve this end, right? I think the point is, he's been building up to this for a while. We've been flirting with the loving your brother thing, right? He brought it in as an extension of the walking in the light and walking in the darkness, which already sounded like a non-random example, right? Like it wasn't just like one possible instance of walking in the darkness or one possible instance of walking in the light. But it was from the beginning more practical. We talked about like the vagueness of the metaphors of walking in the darkness and walking in the light and leading oneself astray. Those are useful metaphors, but they're not very, they don't contain a lot of clear instruction, right? Okay, but what does that look like? How do I do it? And so when he shifted in paragraph, what was it? 5, I think. Right after talking about the command that we heard from the beginning, which was in turn right after talking about keeping the commandments and that's how you know God. But anyway, he talked about loving your brother, like the one who does not love his brother and the one who does love his brother. Let's go back and look at that. No reason not to look at it. Behold, beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, the ekousate, that's the same ekousate that we're having in verse, our current paragraph, by the way. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So we have that. I love that shift in ground in the darkness and light, right? We're not just talking about it in a sort of like some sort of vaguely moral sense of walking in darkness and walking in light. The age of darkness is passing away and the true light is coming. The messianic age is upon us. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. And there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So he not only shifts through that introduction in verse 8, shifts the ground of the light and the darkness, but he also, it's a clear expansion, explanation of the walking in the light and walking in the darkness. He's using that language explicitly about tripping and, you know, coming back explicitly to walking in the darkness in verse 11, right? And like I said, even at the time here, it does not sound like merely, it doesn't sound like merely an illustration, like a, you know, like a sermon illustration, you know, kind of thing. This is him, the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. And of course, that's paralleled to, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth, right? Yes. So on the one hand, walk in the light is a command, but it's It's a little bit unclear as a message, right? It's a little unclear as instruction. Love your brother, don't hate your brother, is much more practical, is much clearer. But as I say, is it just an example? Could there be other examples? Could he have substituted other things? Other examples of walking in the light versus walking in the darkness? But I don't think that's necessarily how this works here. I think from the beginning, he's been pointing to the idea, the beginning of him raising this question of loving your brother. He's already suggested that that action, that state of loving your brother, is keeping the commandments, is walking in the light. That it's not just one of the means to achieving the end, which is fellowship with God, right? But it is what it looks like. And I think that that's what he's suggesting there at the end of paragraph 9 as well. By this, the children of God and the children of the accuser are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. First, he paralleled love your brother with walk in the light. Now he parallels it with doing righteousness as opposed to doing sin. The doing righteousness and doing sin stuff that, you know, that language that he uses here in paragraph 9 sounds a little more concrete than, because it's less metaphorical in one sense than walking in the light and walking in the darkness. But at the end of the day, it's not more specific. If you don't define for us what righteousness and sin are. Oh, wait, he did define sin, lawlessness. Also, of various applicabilities. And if what we're looking for is practical advice of limited usefulness, of limited help in our understanding what it looks like, what it is we ought to do. Love your brother now, that's a little different. And again, the way that he has paralleled love your brother with do righteousness and walk in the light. And also, he didn't explicitly pair hate your brother with doing sin yet, but he's just about to do that, right? That's exactly what he does with Cain. Cain, who is of the evil one, just like he was talking about being of the accuser. Right, being children of the accuser as opposed to children of God. He hated his brother. Right. Okay. Anyway, all of this, I'm coming back to Hina here. What I'm coming back to is by repeating this is the message, haute estin he angelia. Haute estin hei angelia. This is the message. The message before, this is the message before, was God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now the message, which they've heard apartes, is not a new message, right? It's the one they've heard apartes, just like he said in paragraph 5. The message is, we are to love one another. We should love one another. We should love one another. And I think he's doing both. I think he's making the word hina be both things. It defines what the message is. It also tells us the purpose of the message. This is the point. Because remember, when he used the word hina, unquestionably, I think, in the purpose sense in that first paragraph, what was the purpose? What was the purpose of the message? The purpose of the message was that we might have fellowship with each other. Oh, and also with God and his son, Jesus Christ. He has placed, remember when we used to kind of, I kept saying, like, we'll come back to this, but just notice he does it first. What we have seen under we proclaim unto you, so that, Hina, you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father. But the fellowship among us, John puts first, right? And then he does this, remember he makes that similar move right away in paragraph two? But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And that's a surprise. If we say we have fellowship with him, with God, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with blank, fill in the blank, like nobody would guess. If that's all you ever had and you'd never read it before, everyone, like 100% of people would fill that out and say, we have fellowship with him, with God. That's what it's been talking about. The whole complex sentence there, right? But instead, whoop, he pivots. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's almost as if John is here equating having fellowship with one another to having fellowship with God. It's almost as if it's not quite this. But one could almost... I could understand if someone came out of that sentence, if you just read that sentence, thinking that the fellowship with one another is the end and fellowship with God is the means, if you see what I mean. Like it's a prerequisite to the intended end, which is having fellowship with one another. Now, again, I'm not saying that having fellowship with each other is more important than having fellowship with God. I'm just saying that's how he constructs this. So twice here in the last three sentences, four sentences is a little short one at the end of paragraph one, John has said the purpose of the proclamation, the purpose of the message, the purpose of doing this is that we should have fellowship with one another. So when he comes back around and says, this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we are to love one another. You see what I mean when I says it does, but I think he's wordplaying on Hina. I think he's doing both at once. This is the whole deal. Love one another. That's the whole deal. It is both the practical thing. It's both like the message. Here's what you should do, fellas. Love one another. Right? Can you do that, folks? And it's also the reason to do it. It's also the reason for the message. The whole point of the message is that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And for what reason did he murder him? Let's come back to the reason. I think we'll have to save next week for the reason. I wasn't expecting to spend so much time still on verse 11 today, but this is really good. He shifts to Cain. Let's go back. I wouldn't even resolve the other things. Aiden, it's all because of your brilliant pointing out about that Hina, which has derailed our other discussion, but it's totally awesome. And maybe this can help us to understand better syntactically what the heck he's doing here, because the transition is weird. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, so that we should love one another. This is the goal. This is the whole point. Not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. Not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. Okay, all of a sudden, that made more sense to me than it did before. Let me see if I can try to understand why that sounded. I think our digression has helped, but let me see if I can figure out why. Because this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, so that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. Okay, I think I see. the difference in my head when I read it this last time. Okay, so the problem is not just the who. The problem I have is not just the who, it's with the number. Actually, it's with the semicolon. Yes, my problem is with the semicolon. Thank you. How does this, okay, King James puts a period in between the two. The NIV puts a period, different sentences. NRSV, yeah. Message makes it a whole new paragraph. Okay, yes. That's the issue. That's the issue. All of them, the NASB least of all, but all of the English translations are putting a hard break between verse 11 and 12. And I don't think it is a hard break. I don't think it's a hard break. I think there's a kind of parallelism that he's doing here. I think it's part of the message. This is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain who was of the evil, not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. If we take that again, not as a separate thought, not no hard break there, but as attached to, we should love one another. For instance, we wouldn't think anything of it. Like, say he gave us a positive example, right? What's a good example of someone loving their brother? I don't know. Maybe Joseph loving his brothers. Not his brothers loving him, but Joseph loving his brothers, like, or, you know, like Joseph loving Benjamin or something like that. I don't know. Jonathan and David. Sure. Sure. Let's go with Jonathan and David. That's an easy one. Yeah, they're not literally brothers, but it's okay. That's fine. Let's go with Jonathan and David, Aiden. Fine. If he said something like that, we should love one another. Kathos, just as Jonathan, right? Who saved, you know, his brother's life at his own risk. Okay, we'd be like, right, that's a logical extension of the command, right? That we should love one another just as. Here comes the, right, just as Jonathan loved David and saved his life. Yes, there you go. There you go. Just as Jonathan loved David and saved his life. Yeah, that would work. But anyone, you know, and my point is, you wouldn't feel compelled to put a semicolon or make that a new sentence. It would be clear that that was part of the thing, part of the command, right? We should love one another. Nobody would translate that as like, we should love one another, period. Jonathan loved David and saved his life, right? I mean, it's clear that it's the kathos, it's part of the thing. I think the Cain stuff is part of the thing. He's decided to make it a negative instead of a positive example. And I think the reason why he's done that seems relatively clear. Because, of course, remember what he's just been doing. He doesn't want to just give the positive example. This is the message, that we should love one another. He's just been all about saying, remember, he ended the last paragraph with, in this are manifested, are made plain, the children of God and the children of the accuser. So he's doing the balanced thing. We've got the children of God. This is how the children of God and the children of the accuser are made clear. By whether if they do righteousness or they don't do righteousness, you can tell it's made clear who are the children, who are ek to theo and who are ek to diabolu. Right? That's what he's been laying out. Anyone not doing righteousness is not of God. Also the one not loving his brother. So he ends with this whole big negative thing. Here is how those who are ek to diabolu are made manifest. If they're not doing righteousness, they're not of God. If they're not loving their brother, they're not of God. Let me expand on this. This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, back to the negatives, back to the making manifest. That's the kind of clarity that he's doing in context. That's the kind of clarity he's looking for here. Not as Cain. Not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. Again, the reason I think why we want to make this into a noun clause is that we want to introduce the break here, to make the not as Cain a separate thought. But I don't think it is a separate thought. We should love one another not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. That's the message, not to do that. And again, remember, he was just talking about making manifest, like the one not loving the brother of him makes manifest that you're not of God, that you're not ektutheu, that you're not out of God, that you're not from God, that you're not the child of God. And it also seems to me to relate to the Hina question. What is the purpose? Making manifest. Making manifest has kind of been the purpose from the beginning. I mean, from, you know, aparches of this epistle anyway. Remember all the making manifest that was happening in that first paragraph too? Not as Cain was of the evil one. Yes. So the ukathos, not just as. What it's balancing, this, so just as always balances two things, right? This, just as this, right? So you've got two things connected by kathos, connected by just as, and we're supposed to see the similarities between them, right? Ukathos, same thing, balancing two things. This one thing is not just like this other thing. What are the two things in the particular balances here? On the one side of the kathos is we should love one another. On the other side of the kathos, the ukathos, is Cain was of the evil one. We should love one another. Cain was of the evil one and slew. Was and slew. The only reason I don't want to just combine those into one thing is that their tenses are different, but I can live with that. Aiden, I think you were suggesting before that was doesn't really take the aorist, so I'm not going to trouble myself about the tenses too badly. So it seems like the kathos, it is meant to illustrate, but it's part of the declaration of the message. Not ukathos, Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. It's interesting. We want to. The reason Cain was of the evil one as a clause feels weird. The reason we want to make it into a Cain, comma, who was of the evil one? The reason we want to do that, I think, is that the parallelism feels so awkward. But I think the ideas that John is putting together here are clearly parallel, even if they feel awkward syntactically. I think the point that he's making, Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. Those are like two aspects of the same thing, right? How do you know Cain was of the evil one? Didn't say that in the text. And John would be like, yeah, did. Did he kill his brother? QED. Proven. Right? He was of the evil one. That's how being of the, it's made manifest. It was made manifest. Cain made manifest that he was of the Poneru. Right? Because he slew his brother. I feel like saying Cain was of the evil one and Cain slew his brother are in John's mind like synonyms, right? Yes. He's going to talk about murders and stuff more as we move forward, but yeah, the evil one was a murderer from the beginning, Randall was saying. Yeah, exactly. We'll come back to that. But yeah. Yeah, Aiden, I totally agree. So Aiden says, feels like the same thing James is talking about with show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. There is no question in my mind that there is a very deep harmony between that paragraph in James and this paragraph in 1 John. But, and you don't even have to get all the way to, you know, let's not love with word or with tongue, but indeed and in truth at the very end of this paragraph before you feel it, right? Before you can see that resonance between those two messages. So yes, I think it's one of the reasons why he's... So if we think about the way that he's constructed this, he puts two things in the balance around the word kathos. But the second thing is a compound thing. Like that's the thing that makes it sound weird. Not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. Right? But the point is, those two things, those are synonyms. The one makes manifest the other. If he slew his brother, it's proven that he's of the evil one, ek tu poneru, as John was just explaining in the last paragraph. And if he's of the evil one, he's going to hate his brother. He's going to slay his brother. That's what it means to be of the evil one, right? So I think that he's taking those two things. He's wanting them to stick really closely together. He's wanting them to become, it's almost like they're a unit. And he's trying to get them to see us as a unit. He's trying to get us to see them as a unit, right? Being of the evil one and slaying your brother. Slaying, not just hating, right? But slaying. And slew his brother. So we have this sort of extremist example. And not just an example. Notice the other shift is that it not only is pointing to a rather extraordinary form of, you know, hatred, but it's also an action. He's doing, this is Cain doing unrighteousness, not just feeling unrighteousness, right? He's not just having unrighteous thoughts. He's doing the thing, right? He is taking the remarkably unloving action, right? Yes, Stephen, you're correct that anyone who speaks harshly to his brother and all that sort of thing, right? No questions, right? We'll get there. That's like the master class, right? But again, the reason he's going for Cain is that it is a simple example, right? And it's simple in both because it's a good example, both because it's a clear and unquestionable example. We'll talk about making manifest, right? It's a clear and unquestionable example. Of course, it's also eparches, which also helps. Yeah. But anyway, so the first thing that the structure of his sentence is doing is kind of jamming those two things together. Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. That's basically saying one thing, right? And it is poised, that compound thing, or that same thing said in two different ways, is poised against we should love one another. Ukathos, not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. Let's come back to the slaying. So, Randall, we'll come back to the slaying word next time. I do think it's important. We haven't talked about the word esphoxen, which is a great word. I mean, it's just a fun word to say. But we'll come back to that. Also, remind me in case I forget. I meant to do it today and I forgot because we started talking about conjunctions and I lost my head. It's easy to happen. But I meant to talk about the Adelphon thing. We talked about it a little bit before, but I wanted to acknowledge it again. Brother issue. The brother, like, you know, many of the English translations, most of the English translations start talking about brothers and sisters here. And I want to acknowledge that. I want to talk about that a little bit in context here. I meant to do it today, didn't get to it today. We'll do it next time, but don't let me forget again next time to do that. So anyway, we'll do we'll talk about the slaying next time, and we'll go on to where he goes next. Is the motivation, Cain's motivation. And again, this is so interesting because you think he's just, if the message is we should love one another, don't you think he ought to talk about that? Like loving one another? Like, what does that look like? Why should we do that? But he doesn't do that. Instead, having dropped that, this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. He goes negative. So let's talk about what not to do, and let's talk about why we do the things we're not supposed to do, right? It's immediately where he goes. And he stays there for a while. So we'll look at that. Next time we will do, well, I guess it's the second half of verse 12 next time. The numbering I find particularly awkward in this whole section. You can tell both the English translation and the numbering, which of course the numbering system significantly predates English translations. No one had ever translated the Bible into English by the time it got the numbers, show that both English translators and previous Bible readers also in centuries earlier had a hard time figuring out where to divide this sentence, right? John is saying, I'm struck by how few actual commandments there are and how much time is instead spent sketching the outline of the behaviors of those who are following the commandments and abiding, etc. Yeah, or not, as the case may be in this case. No, exactly. And I think that's, again, going back to paragraph one again. And it was one of the things that was so striking about it from the start, the way that it kept pushing it off. Like the way we didn't get the verb for a really long time, then we did get the verb, which was proclaim. We didn't get the proclamation, right? The way he's kept not foregrounding that. We might think that he wants to tell us, right? Okay, folks, here's the thing. Do this and you're good, right? Here's a three-step plan or whatever, right? But he keeps not giving it to us. We should love one another is certainly the closest we've got. But again, I think that that's not only the practical action we're supposed to perform, it's also the purpose for which it's the end and not just the means. With that delightful, wordplay, if I'm right about that. Anyway, okay. More about Cain slaying his brother and why next time. But I feel a little bit more comfortable with the... It's still syntactically awkward. There's no two ways about it. But I think I can see that... But he embraced awkwardness from word one by starting this sentence with Holti. So I think I can live with it. I think I'm okay with it. The awkward syntax. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Thanks, everybody. Wonderful discussion today. This was great. That I talked about almost nothing I planned to talk about, but that's always my favorite kind of class. Thanks very much for joining me. And stay tuned next time when we talk about why exactly did Cain kill his brother and what does that have to do with us? Thanks, everybody. Bye now.
Okay, that's it for this week. I'll be back with another episode soon as we continue our march through 1 John. I'm glad you could join me. Godspeed.